after Jesus made the fish sandwiches, in verse 14, it says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him a king. What did they want? They wanted to make him a king because of what he had done. Look at verse.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church and founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies. Thank you for joining us today for the first half of When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going. Before we begin our message today, we've been offering my book, Touched by the Breath of God. It deals with defending the Bible, answering such questions as who wrote the Bible? How can you know the Bible is the Word of God? Should we take the Bible literally? Are there contradictions in the Bible? Didn't someone tamper with the Bible? Are there lost books of the Bible? These questions and many more are answered in this book, Touched by the Breath of God. Contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus Ministries and request your copy of Touched by the Breath of God. Now join us for the first half of When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going.
Let's begin reading in verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And the hard saying, we remember from last week, is that Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, that you cannot be my disciple. And they thought that was a hard saying. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus from the beginning knew who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given of him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus saith unto the 12, will you also go away? I love this response. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he that should betray him, being one of the 12. And as we come to the message this morning, I want to speak to you on this subject. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Been starting out with an apologetic issue, and the apologetic issue that we are starting with today is the fact that some people believe that Jesus was a myth. And, you know, there are people who have said that, you know, he was a legend, that he didn't exist. And Bill Maher, actually a TV host, he was one of them. And this is what he said. He said, it hasn't been proven that Jesus existed. The records we have in the Gospels, and the Gospels are not history. Gospel writers never met Jesus, neither did St. Paul. No one who ever wrote about him ever met him. And so when you look at that, you know, here, and this is just not isolated with him, but this is around the globe today. As a matter of fact, this is on the back of your your notes today. And as we think about addressing this issue, that we see that Bill Maher and the multitude of others who say that Jesus was just a legend. There was a movie that was out. I forget the name of it now, but it basically centered around the idea that Jesus was a legend. But as we look at the evidence, and you know, I've just kind of outlined it today because, you know, in our story, you know, we are dealing with, you know, two people that had personal encounters with Jesus. And so the first thing that I want to say, because Bill Maher, he says that the Gospels are not history. But I beg to differ, because the Bible is a historical book, and it records events that actually happened. So as we read the New Testament, as we read the Gospels, these are things that actually happened. And as we go on, we can verify the Gospels, you know, from outside sources. So we don't need the Gospels to prove themselves, that we can verify it outside the Bible. So the Bible is a historical book. And don't let anybody tell you that. We know the Bible was a spiritual book. We know the Bible was a theological book. But don't forget also, the Bible is a historical book, and it records the facts of history. The second thing we see is that we have two eyewitnesses, John and Peter. Both said that they were eyewitnesses to the fact that Jesus walked on this earth. And they said that they touched him, they handled him, they talked with him, they communed with him. And they were eyewitnesses. The third thing is that secular writers give testimony about Jesus. And you can look this up. Cornelius Tacitus, Gaius Suetonius, Pliny the Younger, Flavius Josephus, those are all ancient historians. And they all give testimony to the fact that a man named Jesus lived in the time that he lived. And then archaeology confirms that Jesus lived. So, you know, don't let anybody, and so I'm speaking to a lot of young people, because this is the word on the street now. It's hard to believe, but it's the word on the street that Jesus was just a legend. Don't let anybody tell you that he was a legend, right? There is hard, cold facts to prove that Jesus actually lived. And we're going to read about and study one of those instances this morning. So as we look at the definition of tough, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. I love it. Strong enough to withstand adverse conditions, able to endure hardship or pain. Tough. I'm asking you the question this morning. Are you tough? You know, I was heard about a man. He asked another man, he said, "How are you doing today?" And he said, "Well, I'm doing okay under the circumstances." And he said, "Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? You need to get from under the circumstances to get on top of the circumstances, that you should not be under the circumstances." You know, a tough person is able to stand up. That's not to say that we don't have our weak moments in life. That's not to say that sometimes we are not overwhelmed by life situations and circumstances, because it happens sometimes. But I've always told people, and I've said it from this pulpit on many occasions, and that it's like being in the boxing ring. Like when you're in the boxing ring, you take all kind of pounding. You know, and some, you may even get hit in the gut sometimes, and it knocks the wind out of you. But you got to find a way to go back to the corner. And the boxer, when he goes back to the corner, you know, he has the trainer. And the trainer will come and wipe the blood and wipe the sweat and give him a drink and in order for him to be able to jump back up and get back in the ring. That sometimes we get beat up in life, and we got a heavenly trainer who wipes the sweat off of our brow, who dabs the blood off of our lip, who encourages us to get back in the ring. And so sometimes we have to pull aside. Sometimes we have to come aside to get ourselves together. And that's a part of that toughness when you think about it, because who gives you the ability to be able to endure the hard situations? It's that heavenly trainer that you come and that you are in the presence with. Now, many of us, when the tough times come, we stand at the crossroads. When we look at tough times, we can be like this individual here, and we can straddle the fence, and we can try to stay in the middle. Or, as many people do when tough times come, they stop going, they shut down. But I'm here to tell you today that when the going gets tough, the tough got to get going. The tough got to get going. You know, there was a guy who was trying to motivate his salespeople. And he stood up and he said that Michael Jordan never quit. And they said, no. He said that Emmitt Smith ever quit. They said, no. He said that Boo Boo Jackson ever quit. And they didn't say anything. And somebody said, well, we never heard of him. That's because he quit. And so when you stand at the crossroad of tough times, it's easy to quit. It's easy to shut down. But I'm here to tell you, and we're going to see that in the text today, that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. We see in our passage today that things actually got tough. Notice this. And we've been in John 6 the last couple weeks. So we were there when we started off with the feeding of the 5,000. And when Jesus fed 5,000, there were many who desired to follow him. And if we had time, we could read all those verses right there. Well, let's, you know, we got a second. Let's read 14 and 15. After Jesus made the fish sandwiches, in verse 14, it says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him a king. What did they want? They wanted to make him a king because of what he had done. Look at verse 24. And when the people therefore saw, now you got to get this now, because I'm going somewhere with this. And where I'm taking you is powerful. There's a powerful result that we're going to come up with here. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took boats and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they found him not on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. They followed Jesus because he was a meal ticket. They wanted to make him a king. And so Jesus realizes this, and Jesus begins to preach a hard message about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And we studied that last week. We went into great depths as to what that means. And one of the things that it meant is that, you know, you have to understand, you know, that I'm getting ready to go to the cross. And if you want to follow me, you know, are you willing to die the death that I'm going to die? And the Bible says that when he preached that message, the crowd began to thin out, right? The crowd began to thin out. And in verse 60, what did they say? They said, man, this is a hard thing. As long as we are praising God, and as long as we are shouting, and as long as we are slapping each other high fives and giving elbow bumps and fist bumps, hey, man, I'm down with Jesus. I'm with him, right? But as soon as I get on the college campus, and the professor begins to ridicule the Christian faith and begins to poke holes in the Bible, This is a hard saying. This is a hard saying. When I get on my job and people begin to put down the Christian faith and they begin to denounce Jesus Christ and take his name in vain. I was down with it whenever things were going easy, but you know what? Now this is a hard saying. This is a hard saying. It was all right when, everything was going good, but then I had to confront some situations in my family, or I had to confront some situations, in various communities. And, I don't want to do that. And so, this is a hard saying. And as a result of the hard saying, the scripture says, and I'll never forget this, right? I don't know how many times I read this before it locked in my mind, but it was found in John 6:6:6, right? We know 666, that's the number of man. And then you look at the book of Revelation, that's the number of the beast, right? 666. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Wow. They went back. They turned around and they walked with Jesus no more. Let me expand that definition of tough. And as we look at the expanded definition of tough, you'll see I added some things in there. The definition of tough: strong enough to withstand adverse conditions, able to endure hardship or pain through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, if you've accepted Christ and you've been truly born again and the Holy Spirit resides in you, you can endure through any situation. These individuals that turned back, they didn't have the Spirit. And we're going to see that here from the text. They did not have the Spirit. And when things got tough in the area of discipleship, when their discipleship was challenged, when Jesus added a cost to their discipleship, many of his followers turned back and they wanted nothing to do. How do you respond when things get tough in your life? Does rejection, criticism, setbacks, loss, do they cause you to turn back? Do they cause you to become weak in your faith? Jesus is going to point out in our text today that there are those who are tough. And the tough, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. So the first thing that we see today about the tough is that the tough draw from their spiritual life. The tough draw from their spiritual life. Look at verse 63. It is the Spirit that giveth life. Look at this. He says, the flesh profits nothing. And you know what? That's the problem with many of God's people, is that they're trying to fight the battle in the flesh and they're not fighting it in the Spirit. That we look at situations and we put on our fleshly boxing gloves and then we want to get in the ring and we want to fight against our relative. We want to fight against our spouse. We want to fight against our coworker. We want to fight against our church member. We put on the boxing gloves and we want to fight. Jesus said that the flesh profits nothing. These are spiritual battles. And that we have to see them as spiritual battles. Whenever you get in conflict with someone, it's not a fleshly battle. It's a battle that has to be fought in the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit. Let's finish that verse, verse 63. It is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Beautiful words of life. That as we read the Word of God and we let it get into our heart, that's life. That's life. That's bringing your soul to life. And when we have the Spirit and when we have life in our soul, you put that slide back up there. How you respond in tough times is an indication of your spiritual life. And I've said this on many occasions. And you know, the fact is that Jesus was saying the same thing. It said many of his disciples left and followed him no more. Well, what was that an indication of? That was an indication that their spiritual life, if they had any at all, was very weak. When you hit hard times and you are squeezed, what comes out of you? What comes out of you? I've given preaching 29, going on 30 years here. You know, I know I've given some of the same illustrations over and over again, right? And so don't think I'm going senile when I give these illustrations. You know, I look at it like this. You know, it's like choirs, right? They sing songs that they have sung, right? So I'm gonna give my illustration, right? But you know, when you take a rag and you dip it in water, and you squeeze it, water comes out. If you dip that rag in orange juice and you squeeze it, orange juice comes out, right? So when you're squeezed, whatever is inside of you is going to come out, right? And so if you have been dipped in worldliness, if you have been dipped in gossip, if you have been dipped in lust and fleshly desires, and you are squeezed, guess what's going to come out of you? Those things will come out of you. But if you've been dipped in Bible study and devotional time and singing the hymns of the faith and fellowship with the saints, and you are squeezed, guess what's going to come out? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That when you are squeezed, you know, I preach the message. Let's look at Proverbs 24 and verse 10. I preached the message a couple of months ago from Proverbs 24 and verse 10. And it says, if you fall out, if you get weak and fall out in the day of adversity, what does that indicate? That your faith is small, that your strength is small. And the message that I preached, the title of the message was, it's showtime, right? It's showtime. And the idea was that, you know, you come and you hear the Word of God preached on Sundays. You come to Life Quest, you come to Sunday school, you come to Bible Institute, you have daily devotionals, you listen to David Jeremiah and Chuck Swindoll and Charles Stanley and Tony Evans, you know, you listen to some of the powerhouse preachers, and all that culminates when you come to that day of testing. When you come to that day of being squeezed, and when you are squeezed, all that has prepared you for that time. That when you...
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request your copy of When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download the more than 400 resources that are available there. We also like to invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your faithful prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. Now, this is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.